Let's have a read of Matthew 7 and the first 12 verses. I don't know whether it's lugging all this stuff around. Is it well hot in here this morning? Good. I'll try and keep you with me. But if you feel like you need to stand up at any point because you're just drifting in the heat into a semi-comatose state, then feel free to stand up. I won't be distracted too much. Let's look at Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. What book of the Bible are we looking at? I asked that recently and somebody wasn't quite sure. So what book of the Bible are you looking at on Sunday mornings? Yes, Jasmine. Matthew we are. And what part of Matthew, what's it called? The bit of Matthew that we've been looking at for quite a few weeks now. See, Sue has her hand up, but I'm not going to ask her. Or she was bidding for something else. It's called a sermon in a elevated high place. Anyone know? Yes, Ben. The Sermon on the Mount. We are looking at the Sermon on the Mount. It's what Jesus says to his disciples. It's what Jesus says to his disciples about how they should live as followers of him. That he perfectly does what the Father wants, and he gives us that as a present. He gives us righteousness, being good, as a present, as a gift, and he takes away our sin. But he also says, this is how I want you to live with my help, to live in a good, righteous, upright way, in a way that will please my Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father. And today, it's about how we treat other people, how we think about other people, and how we pray for God's help. And then there's kind of a summary of what really the whole sermon has been teaching about our relationships with other people. So it begins, first couple of verses, do not condemn other people. Do not condemn other people. If somebody in the playground goes up and kicks someone else in the chin, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Massive thumbs up if that's a really good thing to do. Okay, that went from a hand to a thumb down. Okay, so thumbs up if it's a good thing to do, thumbs down if it's a really bad thing to do. Yeah, I think that's a really bad thing to do. And we would see that and know that. If somebody was unkind to somebody else and said really hard words to them, harsh words, unkind words, we'd think that was bad. If somebody stole something that belonged to someone else, they stole their sandwich box, lunch box, they stole their pencil case, They stole their friends. We'd think that was a bad thing. And Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. And it's really important to understand that he is not saying some things are good and some things are bad, and we can see that. We can see that stealing someone's lunchbox is a bad thing, and we will make that decision, make that judgment that it's wrong. Jesus is not talking about how we figure out in the world what is good and bad. He is actually teaching us throughout this sermon and other places to look at things and work out what's good and what is bad, and to behave in a good way. And at times, to look at other people and realize what they're doing is wrong. And sometimes we will need to speak to them. He talks about that a little bit later in Matthew's gospel, about how we might need to go and actually speak to someone about how what they're doing is wrong. So it's not about that when he says, do not judge. But he's talking about condemning other people. In other words, harshly assuming that we know better than them about everything, that we are better than them, and that we are competent to judge them, and that we then condemn them. Say there is no hope for this for these people. And that can happen to people who are not Christians. We can judge them and decide that they're useless and not worth anything and that they're condemned already. That can happen to people who are Christians, that we judge them as well. So Jesus says, do not condemn harshly in an unkind way people who are Christians, people who are not Christians, who are making mistakes. Don't look down on them. And Jesus gives us some reasons why not. First of all, he says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, what he's not saying, again, he's not saying your judgment will be what God uses. He's not saying that, because obviously God makes the rules. We don't make the rules, and then God judges us by the rules. He's not saying that. But what he's saying is that we will all be judged by God. That's what it says when it says you will be judged. It means you will be judged by God. And what he's saying is we need to realize when we condemn somebody, even if we're correct in saying what they're saying is wrong, when we actually condemn them, we're actually condemning ourselves because we do the same things. So what he means by the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We all think it's bad to lie. We all think it's bad to steal things. We all think it's bad to go up and kick someone in the shins in the playground. We all think that's bad. What Jesus is saying is, in some way or other, when we judge someone for doing that and say, there's no hope for you, you shin kicker, liar, pencil case stealer, when we say that, we're judging ourselves because we're really saying, there's no hope for me. I might not have kicked someone or stolen something or lied on that occasion, but we all do those kind of things. Really successful survey I'm just going to do. Hands up who never sins. Good. There's at least one. Hands up who never sins. It's not really a question we can answer in honesty and put our hands up, is it? Because we all sin. And when we're judging others, we're forgetting for a moment our own sin. And we're very good at doing this. And Jesus then goes on to give some brilliant illustrations. He says, we see the faults in others and can miss the big ones in ourselves. Well, perhaps I've only got the main headings on there. We see small faults in others and can miss the big ones in ourselves. Jesus gives this brilliant illustration. Let me just drop that down here. I'm going to borrow Blake for a minute because we might have to have a bit of interaction. Can I borrow you, Blake? Up the front. And what Jesus does, if you want to stand up there, a reasonable distance, just over there. You're looking very nervous. It's all cool. Now, apparently, you've got a bit of a speck of sawdust in your eye. And so, just look a little bit distressed with it. Give it a little bit of an itch. Brilliant. Face that way a little bit more. Brilliant. That's excellent. And Jesus gives this brilliant illustration. He says, if there's a speck in your brother's eye, maybe thinking about someone who's also a believer, they might have something that's not quite right with them. Yeah, they really do have a speck. It's true. They really do. And he says, before you can help them, you need to get rid of the beam that's in their eye. And I brought a beam just to make the point. He's not talking about anything like a tiny bit of wood. He's talking about the kind of thing, I couldn't really bring a full-size one, that would hold a house up. That would be right across the beam that holds the second story up, something this size. And so Jesus is making a ridiculous picture to say, if you've got one of these, whoops, sorry, I better take my glasses off. Don't want to smash another pair of glasses along with mobile phones that I'm always smashing. And he says, if you've got a beam in your own eye, how can you possibly sort out the speck in your brother's eye? You've got hardly any of your senses. For one thing, you've got only, we're getting a bit out of breath here. You've got only, it's quite a heavy beam, proper solid. For one thing, you've got all your distances wrong. For another thing, you can't really get properly close. You're distracted with the beam and everything else. So what Jesus says is, before you try and sort out the speck in your brother's eye, get rid of the beam in your own eye. And then, got that thing where your arm is going up and up and up because the weight's gone. That's a really weird feeling. They won't stay down. Okay, and then, because you've got rid of the beam in your eye, you can then deal with the speck that's in your brother's eye. It's a really easy, thank you very much, Blake. It's a really easy to follow. You feel as hot as I do, that's good. It's a really easy thing to follow, isn't it, and to understand. We see small faults in other people, and we can miss at the same time the really big ones in ourselves. Now, it may be Jesus is talking about just sin in our own lives that we need to deal with. And there may be particular things that we need to say sorry to God for, or maybe to say sorry to someone else for. He may be talking about that. He certainly is not saying you have to be perfect before you can help anybody else. But I think probably he's talking about big sins, maybe big public sins, but most likely talking about our pride. It's kind of like our pride is this massive plank in our eyes because it's such a big thing that distorts our vision. Our pride meaning our thinking that we are perfect. So he could be talking about sin, and we certainly need to repent of sin to be able to help other people. But I think he's especially thinking we need to realize that we are sinners as well, and to be very humble, to be very lacking in pride when we try and help other people. You don't need to be perfect, but you do need to be humble. Interestingly, then he says in verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What's interesting is there's still something to sort out in your brother. You still need to help your brother with the speck of sawdust in their eye. There's still a good thing to help people perhaps see faults in themselves, see how they're not pleasing Jesus in what they're doing. It's still good to do that, but before we can be any use doing that, we need to get rid of our own pride. So don't condemn other people. When you judge others, you're judging yourself. We need to offer help with humility and realism. And then He says, decide whether people are ready to listen. Decide whether people are ready to listen. Any of the particularly small children, perhaps preschoolers, who are just old enough to be in here, or reception class people, what kind of animal is that? I think, Zara, you're not quite in that category, but good to make an effort. Yep, Scarlett? It's a pig. It is a pig. I tried to get as wild-looking pig as I could, but this one doesn't look very wild. It looks rather nonchalant, but it does look very dirty, doesn't it? And Jesus uses dogs and pigs as a powerful example. There's a couple of wild dogs. The dogs he was talking about would have been wild dogs, not pet dogs like these are, who are domesticated and relatively clean and relatively obedient and nice. But wild dogs, savage dogs, dirty dogs, who are out on the streets just stealing all the food that was around, a bit like we would think about foxes nowadays. Most of us don't think fox cute, cuddly. We think fox, germs, dirty, scavenger. Think about that to do with dogs. And similarly, when they thought about pigs, it was an unclean animal in the Jewish law, meaning an animal that they couldn't eat. So they didn't think nice pork chops even, or, you know, I love pigs, they make snorty noises and they're very cute. They would have thought unclean animal, horrible. And Jesus uses pigs and dogs as an example of people who would ridicule, who would reject, who would even blaspheme the gospel, who would say really bad things. Sometimes even people who are believers, who are followers of Jesus, might be a bit like pigs and dogs who push away advice. But I think he's especially thinking about people who are not Christians, who are not believers, and they're told the good news about Jesus, and they don't see it as very valuable. They think it's useless. You can't eat it. You can't consume it immediately. It's of no use. And maybe like the pigs, they actually even get cross. Jesus talks in a fun bit of the story about the pigs. They may trample them. This is the pearls of the gospel, really important, expensive jewels. They may trample them and then turn and tear you to pieces. So think about this pig, being like a wild boar that then comes and gets so annoyed that you've only given them jewels and they can't eat them, that they come running after you to see if you've got any more food. Now again, there's lots of Jesus doesn't mean sentences this morning, so I'm sorry about that, but it's just how the text is. It doesn't mean Jesus is saying we decide who gets to hear the gospel. We say, it's worth speaking to him, it's not worth speaking to him, it's worth speaking to her, it's not worth speaking to her. It doesn't mean that at all. We're supposed to go out and tell the good news to anybody that we meet, to tell the good news about Jesus. So he's not really saying we pick and choose, but he is saying there are some people who at this moment just don't want to listen. And sometimes we need to realize that. We need to discern that some people are so hostile to our words that we need to hold back and to look for people who are actually willing to listen. Roger Carswell had this great expression. He's a full-time evangelist. He spent all of his time telling people the gospel in sort of meetings and so forth. And he has a fun story about a cold caller who called him once, you know, trying to sell something, and he started trying to tell them the gospel. So he's really into telling people the gospel. But he has this expression, which is, the job of an evangelist is telling the good news about Jesus to anyone who's willing to listen. And that's a really important end to the sentence, anyone who's willing to listen. Jesus never says we need to force people to listen. And some people at the moment might not want to listen. And Jesus says we need to see that, and we need to find people who are willing to listen, people who are ready to hear. And sometimes that's true of our advice. Sometimes our advice to people is not welcome. Other Christians, other people who are believers in Jesus, who are followers of Jesus, sometimes our advice is not welcome at the moment. And we need to recognize that. We've spoken with humility, we trust, we've recognized our own faults, but still they won't listen. That's fine. Jesus says that there may be moments when that's true and you need to move on and to wait for God's good time. Those are quite hard things to do and to think about. So Jesus then, as he's getting towards the end of this big sermon, but getting to the end of this section as well, he says, with all these things in mind about making judgments but not making harsh judgments, about discerning who should listen to the gospel, who's listening, sorry, to the gospel and whether to move on, in making sure we deal with our own sin, it's really hard. So we need to ask for God's help. So he says in verses 7 to 11, keep on praying, keep on praying. Now, can I have a volunteer? Sorry, I might go off camera for a second. Let's go for Noah and Violet at the back, who put their hands up straight away. And I want one of you to come and knock on that door. And I want one of you, oh no, I'll do another door because Jeff's there. Let's have one of you on the main door. So go outside that door, Violet. Go outside that door, Noah. And we'll just close it for a sec. Oh no, there's a wedge in it. Oh, I didn't think this through. Should have moved Jeff earlier. Okay. And do you want to just close that one door for a sec as well? Okay. So Jesus says that we should ask and keep on asking and knock and keep on knocking. So, do you want to start knocking the door? Noah, do you want to start knocking the door as well? And I think the way Jesus uses the words, he says that we need to ask and keep on asking, and we need to knock and keep on knocking, and to seek and keep on seeking. So what he means is, keep on knocking, keep going with the knocking, and eventually, thank you very much, God will answer. And even, has Noah given up? I was going to go and actually open the door for him. I didn't feel like he should be left out. Keep going. No, you gave up. Keep going. Thank you very much. The door will be opened. There we go. Now, Jesus never says we should go on repeating prayers. He said that earlier on in the sermon. I remember speaking about it. So he doesn't say we just need to keep babbling on and babbling on. But he does talk about keeping going in praying and keeping asking. So when he's talking about asking and seeking and knocking, he's talking about prayer. That's obvious because he goes on to show what he means about how kind and generous that if we keep on knocking, God will hear and he will answer. And again, he gives this brilliant illustration. So I've got two father-son connections to come up. So if Pete and Oakley first, but if Dave and whoever you chose want to make your way here as well. So Pete and Oakley, I know you kind of understand it from the words, but it just really embeds it to actually see it. Got to get the right hygienic bag. So if you take those, if you could get that one out of the wrapper actually, that'll be handy in a sec. Oakley, if you want to just stand up here and then you'll be nicely on camera. Just there. And facing a little bit that way. Perfect. Brilliant. So if you want to jump out there as well. So what Jesus says is, if a son asks his father for a loaf of bread, what will he do? So, son, ask your father, I want a loaf of bread, please, Dad. And what do you think the father would do? He's got in his hand here. What has he got? Someone tell me out there what he's got in his hand. What's he got in his right hand, somebody? Someone who hasn't guessed yet? I can't say anyone who hasn't guessed yet. Okay, Blake then. He's got bread in his right hand, a bread roll. And what's he got in his left hand? Yes. He's got a rock. He's got a stone. Now, if your son asks you for a loaf of bread, what's your dad really going to give you? What do you reckon? Rock or stone? Hands up if you think rock. There'll always be some who want to do that just to be naughty. Yeah, it's a rock, isn't it? What about bread? You reckon bread? Yeah, I reckon bread. Look at that. A lovely loaf of bread, untouched by my human hands. Got out of the packet by Pete. There we are. You can, you want to give that to me? You don't fancy it? No, you can. I've touched it now. I love it. Thank you very much. Thank you for that illustration. And then just to make the point, because Jesus is a really good storyteller. You would so prefer having Jesus teaching this than me, because Jesus was obviously, you know, the plank thing. You're supposed to laugh and find it funny, because Jesus was a fantastic teacher who kind of draws you into these stories, and you're in saying, how ridiculous. Sorry, I should have got those out of the packet. You should have got those out of the packet. Sorry about that. We're actually going to have that for lunch, so just look after it. Bit of kedgeree for lunch, just in case you're interested. Okay, so again, Jesus says, if your son asks you for some fish, so if you want to ask for some fish, go on then, go for it. Please, can I have some fish, he said. Now, what do you reckon, fish or snake? How's that, everything snake? Thank you very much, you got the idea now. This is a really cool snake. If you hold the end, it kind of has a lifelike quality to it. There's just something about it. It's so weird. I don't like it. It's in my house and it's sinister. Anyway, I used to have one's this one. Do you think your dad is going to give you the snake or the fish? The fish, that's right. Because that's going to do you a lot more good. You know it's frozen, yeah? It needs to thaw. Thank you very much, guys. Perfect. Mind the steps. I'll have the snake, please. Even though I don't want it in my house, some people like it. What a good storyteller Jesus was. And what he's saying is, you ask, and you keep on asking, and you knock, and you keep on knocking, and you seek, and you keep on seeking his help, and he is so generous that he will answer. Jesus actually says, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. And that's true, isn't it? Fathers across the world are nearly always kind to their children and give good presents, give good gifts. Don't give them stones when they ask for bread. That's nearly always true right across the world. And what Jesus says is, even in an evil world where people are sinners, we know how to give good gifts. So much more, Jesus knows how to give, sorry, God the Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. It's such an encouraging promise. And we need to pray. We're going to ask God to keep us humble. We're going to ask God to help us realize that we are being unkind and condemning other people wrongly. We're going to ask God to help us understand when maybe it's time to stop trying to tell somebody the gospel and to wait for God's good time. We're going to ask for God's help to do many of the other things that are in this sermon, to help us to pray really well, sincerely, from the heart, to help us not to get angry, to help us to have our hearts fixed on treasure in heaven. There's so many things to ask God for, and the wonderful promise here is that God is a generous, kind, loving Father, and he will give us good gifts. He will give us generously what we ask for, good gifts to those who ask him. That's a wonderful promise that we grab hold of, because it's hard living to be right with God. It's hard living to be a follower of Jesus, and it's such a great promise that God will help us, because he's a generous Father. And then the last verse says, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. This little verse here, it fits with just what we've been looking at. You see how he begins, do not judge, or you too will be judged. And then this section ends, do unto others what you would have them do to you. He's making the point that how would you like to be judged? How would you like to be treated? Well, with kindness and generosity. So how do you treat others? With kindness and generosity. So it fits with that, fits with what Jesus said earlier about we are forgiven, so we forgive other people. That's how we want to be treated, to be forgiven. So that's how we want to treat others. We want to be forgiving to other people. So it's kind of a summary of what we've just been looking at this morning, but it's also a bigger summary, perhaps, of what the whole sermon has been teaching us with respect to how we treat other people, how we live for other people, how we want to be treated at school, Well, that's how we want to treat other people. How we want to be treated at work, well, that's how we want to treat other people. How we want to be treated in the church, that's how we want to treat other people. And again, Jesus isn't saying we can perfectly decide all these things. We need God's help. That's why we need to pray. He's not saying we make the rules about what's good. I don't mind being treated like this, so I'll treat you like this. He's just making a general point about the way we think. We think generously, and we think empathetically. It's a good word for an all-age service. We think our way into other people's world and think, how would I feel like that? How would I feel if that was happening to me? And then we think, how would I want to be treated like that? Remember what Mark said at the very beginning, the summary of the law is love. Love for God, love for other people. We love other people by treating them how we would expect to be treated ourselves. And let's remember what I said at the beginning, what we're saying all the way through. Jesus is not teaching us, do all these things and then God will love you. What he's saying is, God loves you. God sent Jesus for you. Jesus perfectly does these things for you. And because of that, and because you love him, you want to love God. And you want to love other people. And you pray, forgive us for when we fail to do that. You pray, help me. Generous Father, help me to live in a way that pleases you.